We're going to wrap up this very long series that we've been in for a long time since October, which has been around the basics of Christian discipleship called Begin Anew. So previously on Begin Anew, we asked this question. How did Jesus and how do we then behave in ministry? Our summary answer was and has been this basically. That Jesus ministered to others as a nonviolent, God-obedient, Holy Spirit-empowered servant of his Father. That's a very concise checklist, actually, for those of us who are Jesus followers, for anyone who might wonder, am I becoming more Christ-like? So there's a series of questions here. If I could get that next slide, I think I have them there. Here we go. So here's a series of questions you can ask yourself if you are saying to yourself, am I looking more like Christ? Am I behaving more like him towards the heart of ministry? And they are, am I living more and more at peace with myself and towards others? That's a good measure. And again, of course, if you don't know this for yourself, ask a trusted and dear friend or family member who would be willing to graciously speak the truth to you on that. Because we are notorious for not getting it right in terms of saying things about ourselves. Good things and bad, actually. Do I obey God more and more readily because of my growing trust in him? It's just as Danica said. Do we find ourselves characterized more and more by, I got this. I can do this. Or, I think you've gifted me this way, Lord. I'm grateful that you have. But like your son, I can't do anything of spiritual consequence, and I mean anything, without you. That's what a disciple says. Are you saying that more and more? Is that your bent towards living? Is my life increasingly spirit-empowered, or do I do a whole lot in the flesh? I've been in ministry for 25 years. And I think I would be probably ashamed to have a conversation with Jesus over coffee to discover how much of what I've done for ministry has been out of my flesh, out of what Danica has said, out of, I can do this, I'm charismatic, I'm a good communicator, I can make this happen, I can push this forward, I'm motivated, I'm energetic. I don't want to do that. Where does the praise go for that? Right here. The glory ought to go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved me enough to birth me into this existence and then to die for me so that I'd have the next. That's where it ought to go, because he gave me everything. Am I looking more and more to serve others versus being served by others? I don't know. I like being served by others. So it's tough, right? So that's tricky. You can find these questions in all of our teachings, by the way, because we're not providing notes for you to actually write in on our website all the time, every week. So nonviolent, God-obedient, spirit-empowered, servant of the Father. This was Christ's disposition. This was his character. This was his heart. This was his personality, and it poised him for ministry. And anyone who calls Jesus Lord and Savior, and I think that's the right order, actually, is called to ministry within the church and out to the world. Ministry is, as we previously discussed, the thing we as a church have to offer a world that is watching and needing it. All right, 3 points, because that's how sermons are set up. Number one, every Christian is called to ministry. Every Christian is a member of the body of Christ. The church is how it's referred to in the Bible, as Paul says, and I'll give you the references so you can look at your own Bible or your Bible app to find them. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says it this way. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, which it is, of course, as the metaphor goes. And though all its parts are many, they form one body, right? So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. You are the body of Christ, that each one of you is a part of it. So fulfilling our role as part of the body of Christ, no matter what the role is, means ministering to each other, to others. We are all called to challenge and to encourage and to serve one another, just as our ladies did not so recently, but not so long ago at their retreat in Harrison, for which I have a few images that I'd like to show to you now. And there's one. It's magical, the timing, isn't it? I don't know who that is. Is that Carol? Who is that? Who is that, Carol? Christine. Yeah, could be. Yeah. Next image, please. Okay, they're off to this hot spring source, looks like. Next image, please. This is what I call caring for one another. Sitting around, chatting, eating food, doing puzzles. Next image, please. Love it. And next and last image, I believe. There are some of, if not all of the ladies who were there. I know that my wife would have been in that shot had she not had a work emergency that Saturday, which she was sad to miss. Any comment you'd like to make, Carol, on that or encouragement? That's not okay. Really? This was another retreat that we did. It was just fantastic. So whatever retreat you're at with these ladies, serve one another, encourage one another, challenge one another. That is bad. Wow. Why did you send me that one? You didn't. I just pulled that from the archive because it looked meaningful. Wow. Okay. This then is also the perfect time to talk about it. What Doug had mentioned earlier, which is an opportunity for our men to get away as well. So I've been able to hold a spot at Camp Squia for a 24-hour retreat. And just in case it wasn't clear when Doug said it, and let's be honest, it wasn't really clear. Friday, June 21st to Saturday, June 22nd. There was a lot of unclarity on that point. I'm just going to say it. I was back there on the... I think he's landing traffic out of the airport right now. I don't know what's going on. It's a good try. We appreciate your effort. We'd have the cabins, okay, which include... Okay, this will be a big deal for some of us who have been up at the lake for a couple years. Running water. Functioning bathrooms. Just saying. It's good. There's lots to do as well. There's swimming, biking, hiking, fishing. There's the ropes courses, of course, wall climbing, a little bit of archery, where I'm told that I have to sort of run across and people try to... Basketball, hockey, the gym is open, of course. Just some fun things to do together. Or you can just come up and just rest for that 12-hour period. You're just hanging out with us. We'll make our meals together. We'll open the Word together. And we will pray for each other. As I mentioned in my midweek email to U.S. Church family. And this is a reminder, if you're not a part of that and you'd like to be, just contact the office and we'll get you into that email. We need a minimum of 20 guys to make this really work well and for the cost to be as cheap as they are. And I don't know how to say this without making anyone feel guilty. So this is just information. If I don't hear from at least 20 by next Sunday, we will have to give the spot up for someone else who has expressed that interest. So I have 3 or 4 that have said, yeah, I'm definitely coming. That's good. If you are interested in coming and being a part, let me know this week. But back to point of digression and a little bit farther, actually. Every believer is called to ministry within the body of Christ, and every believer is called to share the gospel by word and by deed. The Great Commission, for instance, and of course, is not an exclusive invitation to a specifically gifted bunch of Christians. As we read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, and you're welcome to go there in your Bibles. Therefore, Matthew says, go and make disciples of all nations, those of you who are gifted in evangelism. No. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them if you're gifted at teaching. No. To obey everything I have commanded you, said Jesus, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age, Jesus also said. All believers are called to demonstrate the gospel by the things that they do, acts of mercy and justice and peace, locally, globally, just as we did at Front of the Sun 2019 with a whole bunch of kids expressing the gospel there, talking about Jesus. And just as we are doing middle of the week in this school by offering our time and our talent to a group of semi-peripheral, disconnected students here at the school, and just as we are doing at RAN Mission, Ruth and Naomi's mission, each month by sharing food with those who are marginalized. And sometimes, as this picture next illustrates, these two worlds of local and global caring for, reaching out, collide. This is our 2000... Oh, did I not give you that picture? There's a picture of the 2019 Mexico team. Is that it? Yeah, that's it there. I like how ready Debbie and Carla look for action, eh? With the smocks on there. It's awesome. Yeah, so they were at Ruth and Naomi's mission last week, serving there locally, but as a team going globally. This is a fantastic team builder. There are 13 of us that are heading out and representing Crossroads this summer in the first week of July in San Quintin, and we'll talk more about that as the day approaches. Now, we might ask, how do I know if I am called to a certain ministry? And that's a fair question, right? Here's what seems to be true from my experience and from the experience of others, that our ministry calling has two components, an inner urge to do something and an outer confirmation, that we are attracted to or excited about something, that it stays on our minds without even thinking about it, that we imagine ourselves as participating in it, that it gives us energy to think about it. When we see a challenge like that, we might think, that's for me, or I would love to be a part of that. I'd love to be a part of a Mexico team. I'd love to be a part of the Ruth and Naomi's missions team. I'd love to be part of a river cleanup. Right? This inner urge then ought to be confirmed by the church or by those whom we serve, right? They may say something like, yeah, I can see you doing that, for sure. Or yes, we need that kind of help. They may even pray over you and bless you for the ministry. Or they may say something like, I'm not sure that's the best fit for you. Or we're good, we've got that covered, right? And we need to be equally willing to hear either one. When I make that point, I remember a friend of mine who is in ministry now in Winnipeg. He's a lead pastor, and he was a youth pastor in our church for a time. And he was one of these guys, he was so intense. When he had hit the word, the kids were like, that's way too much. And he would be way too emotional around it. And I said to him, you know, you may not be made for youth ministry, but I think you'd be an excellent lead pastor because you adore the word and you have a heart for people that will be able to match that passion. And to his credit, he heard that and became a lead pastor really quickly and is doing super well. And I think part of this external confirmation is to get good information about what it is that you feel called to do. Either way, I think it's a part of the journey and part of the process to explore those inner urges to serve with those who know you and who can confirm that you are or you aren't heading in the right direction. So I was a public school teacher for a number of years in Ontario. I was happy doing that, but after coming to faith in Jesus, I felt called to pastoral ministry. I had an inner urge and excitement about reading and teaching the Bible. So I processed it with a few people in the church. In particular, I took a couple of pastors out for lunch and bombarded them with questions about what it's like to be a pastor, basically. What do you like most about pastoring? What are the most challenging things about pastoring? What has made you most ready to be a pastor? What education has been helpful? What's one thing you do differently? I remember one pastor saying to me, if you can't think of anything else to do, be a pastor. Which I thought was a kind of insult to like pastoring as a whole. Like, if you can't find anything else to do, it's so bad. Stay away from it. Or they're always looking for pastors. But he meant that if I was called to be a pastor, I would not be able to shake the thought. Nothing else would excite me like the idea of being a pastor. And that ministry, it would just crackle. It would come intuitively. I'd be thinking about it all the time. Then I asked a number of these different folks if they thought I could be a pastor. When they stopped laughing, because my life was not going in that direction for so, so long. Actually, I had person after person confirm me for pastoral ministry. I was excited about it. I was wired for it. And I seemed to have a really good mix of gifts to do it. And on that note, we all have spiritual gifts, right? And that's point number two. Every Christian is gifted for ministry. Everyone is called to ministry, and everyone is gifted for it. It's not like God's saying, I have something for you to do, and I'm not going to give you any supplies for it. Spiritual gift can either be a natural ability, this is the way I look at it anyway, that we would dedicate to God and invite his spirit to fill, or it can be a God-given special ability, right? Here's some of what the Bible has to say about spiritual gifts. Four passages, actually, really quickly. Each of you has your own gift. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. In other words, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, and no one receives them all. Right? Secondly, each one should use whatever gift he has received. This is in 1 Peter chapter 4. To do what? To just drink it and absorb it and feel really good about your relationship with Jesus. Not wrong. Peter is told by Paul, each one of you has, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In other words, the primary purpose. I won't negate that. Having a gift and using it will actually draw you closer to God. That's part of your discipleship, actually. It's a good thing. It's good for you, but it's really principally for others. So some years ago, my dad bought us a portable basketball hoop. It stands proudly. I don't know if an inanimate object has pride, but let's just say it stands proudly at the edge of our driveway. It has at least had one mesh replaced, and thanks to Mackenzie Peters, it has had one of the little, you know, net-holding loops welded back onto the rim. Because you know what? You got to have the mesh. It's got to be in place. It's got to look good. Because it ain't basketball if you can't hear that swoosh sound when you actually get all net, which I've done once. It's good. It's a really good time. My daughter, Kaylee, has practiced on that hoop for as long as we've had it. She has shot and shot and shot ball after ball after ball on that hoop. She's been playing basketball for more than a decade now and is off to Columbia Bible College this coming September to play basketball for them. But our hoop was never just for Kaylee or even our family, or so we determined as a family. We offered it up for anyone on our lane to use, and many have, even including a couple of neighbors who came out to our Friday night basketball drop-in this past fall, where and when they heard testimonies of Christian athletes about their faith placed in Christ and we are there giving copies of Bibles for their very own. Similarly, Father God gives us gifts through the Holy Spirit for our benefit, but really for the benefit of others. So I have an unwrapped gift here, which I hope has drawn your attention, and I hope you've said to yourself, why are we, what? Did I say unwrapped? That was wrong. It's a wrapped gift. And I know the school will be pleased that I dragged that across the floor like that, taking the wax layer off. I have an unwrapped gift here. I have a wrapped gift here. So tired. What happened?
Talk about being unclear. I said talk about being unclear.
I was just scrolling through the punchlines, and none of them were really great. Yep, nice. And thank you. True that, mister. I'm going to crank up my stand here, because that'll probably help my game. All right. Okay. It's here to act as a metaphor. Are we not sort of curious about what's in it? Will it be enough for us to leave it wrapped? Are we excited to see what's inside? It's a gift for us. Will we use it? Will we enjoy it? Will we share it with others? Depends on what it is. Or will we just leave it there? We are all gifted for ministry. Will we leave our gifts wrapped, unused, not enjoyed, not shared? Or will we explore our spiritual gifts, enjoy them, and bless others with them? Any guesses as to what's inside it? Chocolate bunny. Let's see, a guitar. It's a wheelbarrow, actually. Let's see, because I know you're dying to know. It's now unwrapped, just for clarity. It is, I'm glad I did it that way. It's actually a chocolate fire engine. I know, it's very exciting. I thought a bunny would have offended people, so I went for the fire engine, just in support of our emergency responders. God bless you guys. All right. I'm going to leave that there for now, but I have a follow-up for you. In a moment, we're going to do a quick spiritual gift survey. Even if you know or think you know or not your spiritual gifts, and even if you're using them, and in the spirit of this single point that we are gifted to bless others, I'm going to invite you who would like to come forward and break off a piece of chocolate after you're done your survey. But just hang tight, because there's more that the Bible has to say about our spiritual gifts that I'm going to share with you before we move to that. Thirdly, though these words were spoken specifically to Timothy by Paul, I think we can make a general application of it for ourselves. Do not neglect your gift. Put these things in practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. There's progress that you can have in using your gifts very specifically. In other words, we are supposed to use our gifts, and that developing them is a really clear sign of us growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Fourthly, in his grace, God has given us gifts for doing certain things well. This is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, which is to say, to communicate the thoughts of God as led by the Holy Spirit for a situation, or even to predict something like that, or as we had demonstrated this morning, word of truth coming from the heart, driven by the Holy Spirit to you, that you might hear, that you'd receive it. Speak out with it as much faith as God has given you. And that was as much faith as God gave you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, Be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. In other words, there are all kinds of gifts. We are just asked to use ours well. Now, you may or may not know your spiritual gifts, and so you may or may not be using it or them and developing them as a key part of your discipleship. Here's the good news. The church is actually the people place to help you find this out. And now, right now, is the time. So I need a number of volunteers, and you can decide who you'll be. Some to give out pencils to each person, and some to give out the spiritual gift surveys. I would say probably 2 people from each section would be great. So could I get 2 people from here, please? 2 people from here, please? And 2 people from here, please? That would be great. And I'm going to divide the spiritual gifts up for you, the sets of the survey, rather, because I'm not going to divide the spiritual gifts literally among you. Good. So that's spiritual gifts. You can take that. Go. Beauty. And there's another. Are you in the same section? Okay. Then you can take some pencils and hand them out. What section? Oh, hi. Welcome. That's a lovely tan you have there. And which section are you? Are you in this one here? You can't. Okay. Okay. What, pencils? Okay. Grab pencils. Here you go. Pencils. Mm-hmm. Which section are you, sir? Same section. Do we have someone? Oh, nice. Can you get the pencils then from Kim? If you need pencils, and yeah, if you need a writing stick of some sort, what are you doing?
Just unlocking the door.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to open this up so that it's a pretty self-explanatory survey. It's short enough that it's not going to exhaust a lot of time. We'll give this around 5 minutes, this activity. It's important to have this sense of who you are. But I would say this, and I should say this too. Lindsay backed me up on this. At Teachers College, you never, ever hand stuff out and talk at the same time. Am I right? So I'm already in trouble. This is good. Understanding your giftedness. What is better is what is always in our bulletin. It is a link to something that is a little more comprehensive than this, that deals with your experiences, your personality, your passions, right? Your aptitudes. I would encourage you to take that. But I know us. We are limited with time, and this is too important to not have a baseline around what we might learn about ourselves this morning that I'm giving the time to this. Question.
Is there any more? Is there any more?
Wow. Do we have any extra spiritual gifts inventories? Why does this always happen to me, Shirley? This is terrible. Terrible planning. We're short on these spiritual gifts again. So if you are there any extras? Are there any extras around? Or if you're really clear on what your gifts are, I have another one here. Anybody, raise your hand if you would, please. I'll bring it to you. Here we go. Anybody need one back here? We're good? Okay. Wait, no, we're good. Who gave these to me? Okay, you need one? Okay, there you go. Yeah. If you need a writing stick, leave your hand up. So basically, you are reading the description of the gift, wondering if that really reflects you. If it does, say yes to that. Or if it might, say maybe. Or if it doesn't sound like you at all, say no. And then you'll quantify that at the end. While you're filling it out, I'm just going to pray for you because I think that's appropriate. So, Father, we invite your Spirit, the one who gives us spiritual gifts, to come in and make clear for us, as clear as we can today, in this time, how you have gifted us. And that this survey would help bring clarity towards that. But more than that, that it would excite and energize us about using our gifts. Not just for ourselves, but to bless others. Because I think that's how you do things. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, I pray. Amen. Now remember, if you get done pretty early, there's a really nice chocolate fire truck up here that I'm hoping I could eat on my own, but I'd love to share with you because that's how spiritual gifts work. Fire truck, Dave. I'm licensed to consume the fire truck. I am not licensed to drive it. Okay, that's fair. It's good counsel. Chocolate is here for the taking, and I'll do the breaking. Or maybe I, you know. Oh, should it just be me? Okay. They are now. Can I? How would I smash this? Just like that? Oh, do you want the puppy? You don't want the puppy?
No, it's candy. That's candy.
Oh, yeah, that's true, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. I should have thought this out a little better.
What if you, like, whacked it in?
Okay. Okay, there we go. Oh, yeah, okay. There you go. No, no, you take the whole thing. Yeah, you bet. I'm ready now for anybody who might be finished to share my gift. Is Mom finished? Is she too shy to come up to get chocolate? Do you want to come up and get the chocolate for her? Come on up. Okay, thanks. I got to break it off because Phil won't be happy if I don't do that. I'm going to give you a really big piece. Yeah, thanks. You guys can keep your spiritual gifts, and I'll give you some instruction about that in a moment. Jason, yeah, some chocolate? Yeah. Yeah, you would. You betcha. So you'll find this particular survey on our website as well, alongside this Sunday's teaching. But as is said in the bulletin, the best we can do here is for you to follow this up, having a sense of who you are, with one of our staffers. Chocolate? Do you want some chocolate? You're welcome. It was a police car. Different story. He didn't want it, so I had to eat it for him. It's how I serve. Oh, don't touch, don't touch. Oh. Oh.
I wasn't paying attention.
There you go.
Thanks.
You bet. Yeah? You ready?
I need three pieces, please.
You need three pieces?
Yes.
For who?
Me, my wife, and her baby.
Oh, you, your wife, and the baby. Oh, that's good. I have a baby, too. It's different. Give you a minute. Just one more minute. And, of course, you're welcome to take it home and finish it there. But there's one last point to make about being called, being gifted for ministry that I'd like to make. And then we'll call it a morning. Are you ready for some chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Oh, that's a good one right there.
Thank you.
You keep the piece of paper. So keep your inventory, but follow it up with one of our staff members if you can. Oh, yeah, man. Let's go. Let's make this happen. Oh, that's a good one. Huh? Yeah. Thank you. Oh, well, okay. A large piece for the row?
Yeah.
Is Kelly done? I saw her standing up.
I just want a chocolate. That's it?
Okay, that's Andrew?
Yes? I want that piece.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, totally. Okay. Here you go.
I'll share it with you.
Okay. Good. The pencils are yours to keep as well, if you like. Keep the paper for sure. Follow it up when you can. Thank you, James. I'm in the middle of something here, by the way. Man, police officers, no respect. Okay. All right. Last point. Every Christian can minister with commitment and excellence. Can, and I'm going to say it, we ought to. It's as we've said so far, every believer has a ministry in the church and a part to play in God's mission to the world. This is going to require setting priorities and making sacrifices, right? We need to eliminate some things from our lives to make room for what? Ministry and mission. Let me ask you, if ministry is good for our spiritual growth and it blesses others, then why wouldn't we make it a top priority to serve the church and to reach out to the community? Like, doesn't ministry deserve our full commitment? Not sort of the leftovers energy. Not sort of, I can squeeze that in. Doesn't it deserve our first priority and commitment? Maybe I could put it this way. Name one thing that deserves our commitment more than Jesus or the body of Jesus, his church. I can't. So take the results of the spiritual gift survey, pray about them, contact a leader, give something a try. Commit to a ministry for a season, especially a season that is coming up when you will need each other maybe more than you had to for quite a while. And may I also challenge us not just to commit to ministry and to mission, but to do it with excellence, right? I'm just a volunteer. Nope. We're ministers committed to ministry and mission. We should all be getting awards. Not because we're looking for them, but because we're representing the God of the universe who does everything with excellence. Right? That's just a statement of fact. It's not at all made to feel us bad that we're not giving more, we're not committed more. But it is the challenge. It is as Paul says, whatever you do. And he says this in Colossians chapter 3 in two different contexts, but in the span of like six verses. So he's making a point. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you say or do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is to say, you are representing Jesus Christ in what you do. And name it that way, and act that way, and believe that way, be empowered that way, be led that way, behave that way. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Six verses later, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for your boss, yourself, as if working for the Lord, not your coach, right? Not men. Now, let me say this. No one is expecting perfection, right? But I think we ought to expect this, excellence from each other in ministry. Excellence. Effort, commitment, excellence. That we would do our best, that we would try and fail and learn together, and that we would give our all to ministry and mission. I felt called into pastoral ministry, but obviously we all won't feel called into pastoral ministry. The question in the morning really is simple, is what's your call? What is your calling into ministry and into mission? But to really clarify it, this is the question I'll leave you with, which I think I have a slide for to end, and I do. Can you identify an inner urge that we talked about earlier that is a calling, is calling you to be involved in a particular ministry of our church? And in what ways may there have been any outer confirmation of your giftedness for you to be involved in this ministry? It might be that you've tried it somewhere else, or you've tried something like it and you've seen fruit from it. It might be someone saying to you, yeah, I think you could do that, as I said earlier. It could be a whole lot of things, right? It could be this spiritual gifts inventory, aligning you for it, positioning you for it. All right, let's pray.